الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. قوت برهانے کے لیے الحمد للہ وکفا وسلام علی عباده الذین اصطفى. قوت برہانے کے لیے معالش کے معجزے. In order to increase the strength of a person, his health and his strength, the great effects of massaging. سوزش، چوٹ اور موچ وغیرہ کا علاج معالش ہی کے ذریعے سے کیا جاتا ہے. If there is any swelling on the body, a person got he got bumped somewhere, a pain or something that bumped him, and if his ankle sprained, etc., the only treatment for that is massaging. یونانی طریقہ علاج، آئیوپیڈک اور انگریزی طب میں بھی مالش کی بہت اہمیت دی گئی. In what we call our Hakim's treatment, یونانی treatment, آئیوپیڈک, which that is treatment in India. And in the English, the medical side, great stress has been given to massaging. مختلف امراض میں مختلف طریق سے مالش کی جاتی ہے. And for different illnesses, different problems, there are different types and different oils that are used for massaging. مالش کا اثر خون، رگوں اور پٹھوں پر بہت گہرا اثر پڑتا ہے. The effect of massaging falls very greatly on the blood of a person, the veins of a person, and also the bones. جسم کے کمزور اور بے حس اعضاء پر مالش کرنے سے چستی اور حس پیدا ہو جاتی ہے. Those parts of the body which are weak, and those that have become like there isn't any feeling in that part of the body, by massaging, that becomes alive again, and those things become strong again, those parts of the body. جسم کے جس حصے پر متواتر تیل کی مالش کی جائے اس میں تر و تازگی اور قوت پیدا ہو جاتی ہے. Whichever part of the body is repeatedly massaged with oil, that life comes into that part of the body and strength comes into that part of the body, life comes into that part of the body. مگر یہ حقیقت بہت کم لوگوں کو معلوم ہے. And this reality, he writes, that very few people are aware of this. جس مالش سے اعضاء مخصوصہ میں بھی خون کی گردش تیز ہو جاتی ہے اور قوت باہ بڑھانے کے لیے تو مالش حیرت انگیز اثر رکھتی ہے. That for the manhood of a person, massaging has a very great effect and strengthens him and increases him in his manhood. And the places to massage for that, رانوں کے اندرونی جانب, between the thighs, ناف کی پچھلے طرف کا حصہ, the back part of the navel, سر کا پچھلا حصہ, the back of the head, کانوں کے اوپر کی طرف کا حصہ, and the area above the ears. جسم کے ان چاروں حصوں کا عضو مخصوص کے ساتھ بہت گہرا تعلق ہے. All these parts have got a great connection with the manhood of a person. اس لیے ان چاروں حصوں کی مالش خاص طور پر اور اچھی طرح کرنی چاہیے. Therefore, مالش, massaging of these parts of the body should be done well and regularly. اگر کان کے اوپر کی رگے کاٹ دی جائے تو انسان نامرد ہو جاتا ہے. If the veins, the nerves are cut which are above the ears, then that person becomes sterile. He becomes completely useless. اس سے ظاہر ہے کہ اس حصے کے رگوں کے تعلق براہ راست عضو مخصوص سے ہے. From that it is understood that those nerves which run above the ears, they have got a direct contact with the manhood of a person. چنانچہ اس حصے کی مالش قوت کے لیے بہت مفید ہے. Therefore, massaging the part above the ears is very beneficial for the strength of a person. کانوں کے اوپر کے حصے کو ویسے بھی دن میں دو چار دفعہ آہستہ آہستہ ملنا قوت کے لیے مفید ہے. Even just like that, without oil, just to rub the hands above the part which is above the ears a few times a day, this is very beneficial for the strength of a person. حسن اور صحت بڑھانے کا بہترین ذریعہ. Massaging is also the best source for beauty and the health of a person. یونان اور روم کے قدیم تاریخ کے مطالعہ سے معلوم ہوتا ہے کہ اس خطے کی عورتیں مالش سے اپنے بدن کو خوبصورت بناتی تھی. گریس اینڈ روم, اسٹڈیئنگ دا اولڈ ہسٹری, اٹ کمز ٹو بی نون دیٹ دا وومن دیر ان آرڈر ٹو انکریز دا بیوٹی یوز ٹو ہیو دا مساج ریگولرلی. شادی کے وقت لڑکی والوں کی طرف سے جو خدمت گار لانڈیا بھیجی جاتی تھی وہ مالش کرنے میں ماہر ہوتی تھی. ایٹ دا ٹائم آف آف اے میرج فرام دا گرلز سائڈ دا سلیو گرلز ویچ وار ان دوز ڈیز دیٹ یوز ٹو بی سینڈ دے وار ایکسپرٹس ان مساجنگ. یونانی عورتوں کا یہ خیال صحیح ہے کہ جسم کی مالش خصوصاً کان ران اور کمر کی مالش سے حسن و شباب قائم رہتا ہے. دا وومن آف آف گریس دا گریک وومن دس واز دا تھاٹس اینڈ دا امپریشنز کہ دیٹ بائی مساجنگ اسپیشلی دا ایئرز دا تھائز اینڈ دا بیک دا بیوٹی اینڈ دا ہیلتھ اینڈ دا یوتھ آف اے وومن ریمینز لانگ. آج بھی یونان کی عورتیں مالش سے اپنے بدن کو خوبصورت اور تندرست رکھتی ہے. ٹوڈے آلسو دا وومن آف گریس بائی مساجنگ دے کیپ دا باڈیز بیوٹیفل اینڈ ہیلتھی. یہ قدیم زمانے میں روم کے ہر معزز گھرانے میں مالش کرنے والے ماہر لانڈیاں ہوتی تھی جو ہر روز گھرانے کی عورتوں کی مالش کرتی تھی. ان دا ڈیز آف پاسٹ ان روم which is part of Italy etc and part of Turkey, the respectful woman of a house should have themselves massaged regularly by these slave women, and by that they should keep themselves healthy and beautiful. آج بھی ترکی, اٹلی, یونان, فارس, عرب اور روم وغیرہ ممالک میں مالش کے لیے حمام کا رواج ہے. Today, till today, he says, the Turkish bath is famous, and in Italy, in Greece, in Iran, Arab, and in Rome, these people, they have got special massage parlors. And if somebody will remember, it's not long that in Medina Sharif also, there was a Turkish hammam. And now it's all broken new, Medina Sharif now, but there was a hammam there, a Turkish hammam. And this was where a person should go, have a massage and then bath, etc. جہاں scientific طریقوں سے بدن کے ہر حصے کی مالش کی جاتی ہے. And yet the body is massaged in a scientific way, not just any in a haphazard way, but in a particular way. عہد مغلیہ میں سنترے کا چھلکا, آٹا, بیسن, سندل اور دودھ کی بالائی کو حل کر کے عورتوں چہرے پر مالش کرتی تھی. ان دا ٹائم وین دا موغلز ور رولنگ ان انڈیا, دین دا پیلز آف اورنجز, فلاور, بیسن, جی, چنا فلاور, ملک, دا بالائی, دا مالائی آف ملک, دا کریم آف ملک, all this used to be mixed together and then they used to malish themselves, massage themselves with that. Daulatmand khawateen pista, badam, zafran, mom, kusam ke phool doodh mein ghus kar chehre par malish karti thi. And the rich woman used to take pista, badam, zafran, wax, kusam, hollyhock, flowers, milk, etc., mix it and then massage themselves with that. Misr ki auratein doodh se malish karti thi. The women of Egypt used to massage themselves with milk. Misr ki mashhoor haseena Cleopatra ka doodh se ghusl karna mashhoor hai. The famous beautiful woman of Egypt, Cleopatra, it is famous that she should bath in milk. اس کی کنیزیں دودھ میں خوشبودار تیل ملا کر اس کے جسم کی مالش کرتی تھی. سلیو وومن یوز ٹو مکس ملک دودھ میں خوشبودار تیل, آئل دیٹ اسمیلس ویل, دے شوڈ مکس اٹ وتھ ملک اینڈ دے شوڈ مساج ہر باڈی اینڈ آفٹر دیٹ شی شوڈ باتھ. اینڈ شی از اے فیمس وومن ان دا ورلڈ, کلیوپیترا, اینڈ شی از نون فار ہر بیوٹی, جس سے اس کا جسم ہمیشہ با رونق رہتا. اینڈ ہر بیوٹی آلویز ریمینڈ. مصری خواتین اب بھی غسل سے پیشتر بام اور روغن زیتون سے جسم پر مالش کرتی ہے. He says that even till today, Egyptian women, before bathing, mostly they massage their bodies with oil of olive oil, etc. Badshah Rum Nero ki mehbooba bhi doodh se ghusl kiya karti thi. The beloved of the king of Rome, Nero, his beloved should also bath in milk. اور اپنے ہاتھوں اور چہروں کو روغن بنفشہ کی مالش کے ذریعے سے ملائم رکھتی تھی. And she used to keep the skin of her body soft by rubbing it with a certain oil. میری آف اسکاٹلینڈ کی پوتی روغن بادم میں خوشبو ملا کر جسم پر مالش کرایا کرتی تھی. This granddaughter of this leader of Scotland used to badam, with almond oil, she should massage her body. Mashhoor Rukasa Sara Bernade Phatkari Rogan Badam aur Irq Gulab ki mali se apna husn wa jamal barqarar rakha. This woman here, who was a dancer and a singer, and she was also known for her beauty, also by massaging regularly with these various oils, she kept her body beautiful. قدیم زمانے میں افریقہ کے جنگلی حبشیوں میں دستور تھا کہ شادی سے ایک ماہ پہلے دلہن کے روزانہ مالش کی جاتی تھی. In Africa, in the old days, black woman, this was also famous, that 1 month before marriage, the bride-to-be used to be massaged. ان کا خیال تھا کہ اس طرح مالش کرنے سے جسم میں خوبصورتی اور جوانی آؤٹ کر آتی ہے. This was the thoughts and impression that by this massaging, the beauty and the health vigor of the woman comes alive. اس میں شک نہیں کہ جسم کو تندرست خوبصورت اور جوان رکھنے کے لیے مالش بہت ضروری ہے. This is all just examples and facts which he has presented, but the thing is that by massaging a person's body remains healthy and also beauty and has strength in his body also. مالش سے خون کے رگوں میں رگر اور گرمی پیدا ہوتی ہے. By massaging in the blood of the person, in the blood, in the veins, in the arteries, they become hot also and they start flowing better. جس سے خون کا دورہ تیز ہو جاتا ہے اور خون کے زہریلے مادے صاف خون سے الگ ہو جاتی ہے. By which the circulation of the blood increases. Massaging has a great effect on the circulation of the blood, and also the dirt which is in the blood, the poisonous things which are in the blood become separated and then they are taken out of the body. جو مساموں کے ذریعے سے پسینے کے شکل میں بہ جاتے ہیں. Then by pores which are in the body, in the form of sweat, it comes out from the body, all the dirt. And many creams, etc., are to close the pores. This is very, very dangerous for a person. He is hurting his health tremendously when he uses this various perfumes, creams, etc., which close the pores. The pores should be left open. Like people go and sit in a sauna to sweat out, so that the pores are open and all the dirt from the body, the sweat is the dirt of the body which it takes out. مالش سے جسم میں تازگی طاقت اور گرمی پیدا ہوتی ہے. By massaging in the body, freshness comes, strength comes and heat comes in the body, جس سے جسم تندرست اور خوبصورت ہو جاتا ہے. By which the body becomes healthy and also it becomes beautiful. So in short, massaging, which was a sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and these are all afterwards things, what it is important for us that to massage, and at least the bare minimum to put oil in the head and a cream on the feet. Or if we use oil, is even very good. Various types of oil according to the seasons and according to a person's temperament. A person who is hot by nature should use a cold oil, like rose oil, chambeli, all these cold oils. A person who is cold by nature should use hot oil, like olive oil, like badam oil, etc. And a moderate one is for all seasons and for all times, like coconut oil, which is not hot, which is not cold. But this massaging, especially of the head, and the feet and occasionally other parts of the body also is very, very healthy and very good. But it must be done in a jais way. Don't go to a person who will touch your, to don't go to a man, mustn't go to a woman for massaging. That is totally haram. And also if you go to a man, he must not touch any of the parts of your satr directly. Over the clothes he can press your body, but from the navel to the knee, for him to touch your the body, it is not permissible also. The same way for a woman, she should not go to any man for a massage. They can go to a woman for a massage, but then also the parts which are the satr, which a woman can is not allowed to see also, she must not touch that parts of the body also. But massaging is healthy and there are great benefits in it. And unfortunately today we forget that it is not in our lives, we are not even aware of it. We are almost totally unaware of the effects of massaging, etc. And if we are, we haven't got the time for it. And if we do it, it is for pleasure and entertainment, but not as a health and not as sunnah. To add, by our buzurgs we see, it's a regular thing that the khadims massage them always. It's a regular thing. So this is an important thing which should be in our lives. Further in this kitab, Kashkol-e-Ma'rifat, and the Malfuzat of Hazrat Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali with regard to the relationship of a peer and the murids, so that a person can benefit maximum from this path of suluk of tasawwuf. فرمایا کہ بزرگوں کے سامنے سے جو کھانا اٹھا کر انہی کے سامنے کھاتے ہیں میں تو اس طریق متعارف کے خلاف ہوں. حضرت says that there is a common practice, mutaarif, which is famous and which is common, that when we are having meals, then whoever we regard as our buzurg, what he has eaten from, we pick it up from in front of him, we take it and we also eat from there for barakat. So Hazrat says that I am against this. This doesn't make much sense to me. کیونکہ جس کے سامنے سے تبرک سمجھ کر کھانا کھا لیا ہے, because that food which you thought is barakat, because Hazrat Buzurg, Hazrat Wala has eaten from there is barakat in it. So you take it from in front of him and eat. So there are two aspects of this. One is, اگر وہ متکبر ہے تو اس کا تکبر بڑھتا ہے. If that person has got pride in him, his pride increases. That I've taken, I take from Hazrat's plate, I take from Hazrat's food, from etc. So his pride increases. Or agar mutawadi ho, to usko adiyat hoti hai. And if it is a person who is humble, then he is afraid to take. Because of his humbleness, he is afraid to take. Balki yu kya jave. He says if there is barakat in the food, the leftovers, even of a mu'min, it comes in a hadith sharif. The shifa in su'rul mu'min, the leftover of a mu'min, any mu'min. And for that reason, one of the reasons that we should try and sit together and eat from one plate, and also drink from one glass. Because in that, if it is especially in the family, then there is one is barakat. Barakat comes in the food. Allah gives shifa in that, and Allah Ta'ala puts love in there. And it is for this reason that if a stranger has eaten food, so we had some visitors, and a strange man ate from food, and there was left over, the woman folk should not eat of that food, because the effect of that is it can transmit love, and love can come between them, and there is a lot of problems after that. Therefore, non-mahram man and woman, their leftovers they shouldn't share. And from here we understand when it is mahrams, husband and wife, it will increase their love. In that way there will be more love between them. With the children, the parents, there will be more love between them. The food, if we eat from one plate, from one tray, or from one glass we drink water, there will be more love and there will be shifa also in there. And there is more barakat also. So in the leftover of the buzurgs, there is even more barakat. So in that, the way to get that barakat, Hazrat doesn't like the idea, Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali, that from in front of the buzurg you take it and you share from there. But he says the method to do it, to acquire that barakat, بلکہ یوں کیا جائے کہ جب کھانا اٹھ جاوے, when we have finished eaten and the food is being picked up now, تو مالک سے مانگ لے, and then ask permission from the owner that if I can take from here now. سامنے سے لے کر کھانا چاٹنا ٹھیک نہیں. To take from in front of the buzurg, Hazrat feels this way, that to take from in front of the buzurg, this is not right. Take it afterwards. Yeah, that you should take permission from the owner. There is another great important masala here, that if we eat by somebody's house, whatever food he has put, what we eat there, it is permissible to eat it, 100%. But to take some without his permission and put it in the pocket, like there are toffee sweets, we ate one, two sweets there. Another two, three sweets we put in our pocket. I'll eat it. If we take permission, it's understood that he doesn't mind. Like from in front of him we are doing it. Or we say, I'm taking the sweets, whatever. But to take it without the permission is not permissible. Similarly, if we go and eat somewhere like in a restaurant, we have to eat in a hotel, and we are paying for that food. To eat there, that food, that is quite in order. But to take something away from there, it's not permissible. The same way we stay in a holiday, which is one of Indian mentality, then all the soaps, the shampoos, hey, we don't use it there, but it goes in our bags. And then it comes in our bathrooms there. Hey, that is not permissible. It's permissible to use it there. How much you want to use there, you can use. Not permissible to take away from there. So that is important also. اپنے ایک عزیز کے خط کے جواب میں تحریر فرمایا. In one reply to a family member's letter, حضرت wrote this, کہ جو جوابات تم نے لکھے ہیں اگر وہ تمہارے نزدیک شرح صدر کے ساتھ تمہارے اس معاملے کی صفائی کے لیے کافی ہے. That whatever you have written, whatever matter it might be, perhaps it was a financial matter, perhaps it was a fight, argument with somebody, whatever it might have been, whatever you have written in your letter, according to you, if you are sincere and that is the truth, this is also we should keep in mind whenever we have an argument, husband, wife, etc., and this happens all the time. The one party will put their case, but all those things which are in their favor, and those things which are not in their favor, they don't mention it at all. And then when you hear from the other party, you get a shock. It's a complete different story. And they again don't say all those things which they did wrong, where they provoked the person, whatever they did. They say, this person told me I'm an animal. But that they provoked the person to say that, that they won't say. All these things, so always this is the case. So Hazrat says that what you have written, if it is true according to you and sincere and it is right, us mamla ki safai ke liye kafi hai, then it is enough. Now you don't have to worry to get your to get clarification of this matter. جو کافی ہے جو خدا تعالی کے ساتھ ہے تو کسی کی خوشی ناخوشی کی پرواہ نہ کرو. If you are sincere, and this is actually the case which what has happened, and according to Allah your matter is clear, then you don't have to worry of anyone. Don't worry of anyone. And also there's another very important point. One is that out of sincerity, but even in sincerity, there are many things which you look at it from one point of view, the other person looks at it from another point of view. Like for example, one case came now lately, a brother was working for his sister. The husband passed away many years ago, he was working for his sister, and after about nearly 20 years, the sister fired him. And then she told him in 3-4 months. And in that meantime, she was going for a holiday. So he said that, what 3-4 months? You're leaving me dangling just in the air? If that is the case, I'm going now. So he went away now. Now, according to him, 20 years service, and she didn't appreciate. Now that her son came of age and he'll come in the business, now she doesn't need him. So she sent him away. But according to her, perhaps, her view is, I looked after him for 20 years. Only 3-4 months, he couldn't help me out while I was going for the holiday. So, though you are sincere, but every person, and a wise person, and a person who is on top of matters, who doesn't see an argument or a matter only from his point of view, but understands it, tries and see it properly from that person's point of view, which is not easy. That I see this matter like this, but how does that person see this matter? And then, you can, if you are sincere, and now your matter is clear with Allah, you can make a good decision on that. So this is very important. A person usually thinks of it only from his own side. But think of it from another point, from the other person's point of view. Try and even ask that person, how do you view this matter? Anyway, here Hazrat, what Hazrat is explaining, that whenever there is a matter and you are in your conscience, you are clear. That my matter is 100% clear, I haven't done anything wrong, or I have rectified my matters. Now whoever says what, don't worry about them. کیونکہ اصل دیانت ہے اور ہر معاملہ کا انتہا حق تعالی پر ہوتی ہے. For اصل, the basic thing is your own honesty. But unfortunately we are very very few who are honest with ourselves also. Even if we're just thinking in our minds about a certain matter, we are not honest. Everything is only in our favor. We don't think of the other person, the rights of the other person. Like which is almost 100%. In husband-wife's matters, husband thinks of his rights, wife thinks of her rights. Whereas the actual thing is, husband should think of the rights of the wife. And the wife should think of the rights of the husband. But we never think like that. We only think of our own rights. So when a person is honest with himself, Diyanat, and he knows that the end matter is only with Allah Ta'ala. So when he's clear and sincerely, جب حق تعالیٰ سے صفائی ہے تو اور کسی کی پرواہ نہیں. When your matters are clear with Allah, you don't have to worry about anyone else. میں تو کیا چیز ہوں, حضرت says, what am I, میری خوشی ناخوشی کے تم پر کیا اثر پڑ سکتا ہے. And حضرت in his humbleness say, whether I am happy or unhappy, whatever he wrote in his letter and he wanted to clarify matters, حضرت says, my happiness, unhappiness, and what am I in any case. میں تو کہتا ہوں کہ اگر کسی کا معاملہ فیما بینہ و بین اللہ صاف ہو, what I say, if your matters between you and Allah are clear, اور اس کا شیخ جس سے وہ بیعت ہے وہ بھی ناراض ہو. And the sheikh with whom, not only a buzurg, the sheikh you are bayat with, and he is also unhappy, but your matter with Allah is clear in sincerity, to abhi parwa na karna chahiye, don't worry. Even then, if your sheikh also is unhappy, your parents also are unhappy, but your matter is clear, yes, try and make them happy, but you don't have to worry so much. The main is your matter with Allah, but that also in sincerity, honesty, and with proper knowledge and that, which is rare. Which is extremely rare or which is extinct, hardly to be found. Or usko kuch nuksan nahi pahunch sakta. This person, yeah, now even if his sheikh is unhappy with him, but his matter is clear, no harm will come to him. You don't have to worry. Many people, and especially bidati sheikhs, they put fear in their murids that I'll make baddua for you, that if you don't do this for me, that... If you don't give me this, if you don't give me that, what will happen to your family? What will happen to your house, your car, etc.? They put lot of fear. You don't have to worry about any of these things. If your matter with Allah is clear, you don't have to worry about anyone. کیونکہ شیخ معبود نہیں بلکہ واسطہ الی المعبود ہے. کیونکہ your شیخ is not your God, he is the means to take you to Allah Ta'ala. اور معاملہ عہد کا معبود کے ساتھ ہے. And our promise and agreement is with our creator. Our matter is with Allah Ta'ala. So what this really means to us, that all our matters, if we are clean, we haven't done anything wrong, we are clean in our matters and with Allah, and we think of it, then no matter who, whatever they speak about us, whatever claims they make against us, you don't have to worry. They demand this from you, they demand that from you, but this is all that your matter with Allah is clear. And in sincerity, and with proper understanding, your matter is clear because Allah is the controller of everything. Nothing will go wrong with you. But if you are not sincere, if you are hiding things, if you are provoking, you are the cause of problems, then you will be responsible in that case. فرمایا کام میں لگا رہے اور حالات سے اطلاع دیتا رہے. How to progress in this field of tasawwuf, that keep on doing what you have to do, your ma'amulats, your wazifas, etc., what you have to do, and keep on informing your sheikh. Two things. that keep on doing what you have to do, and even you don't need advice, but inform. I'm regular with my namaz, I'm regular, alhamdulillah, with my zikr, this information, because that makes the sheikh's heart happy. And when the sheikh is happy, Allah's fazl comes. So this information is also very rare. There are many friends who are regular with their ma'amulat, but they don't inform at all. So Hazrat says that one is to do your work and to inform. Inshallah, kamyabi yaqeeni hai. Hazrat says that, inshallah, your success is 100%. There is no doubt in your success. Is raah mein hirman, hargiz nahi hota. A person will never be deprived in this path, but that we do it properly. We follow the correct etiquette, etc. That, and amongst them one is to be doing. Not only that we make zikr once a week and then we regard we are doing it always. That's also a great weakness. There are many, many people, with regard to my father-in-law, Maulana Zubair Ali Sahab, rahmatullah alayh, how many people come and say, once he went to their house, they say, always used to come. That's the nature of people. Eh? That they wrote one letter, Hazrat replied it. They say, we had a regular. So this is a nature of people. You make once tahajjud, it's in your mind, I'm regular, I'm a tahajjud guzar. And you remember that one tahajjud of yours. And all the other fajrs you are missing, that you're not even thinking about. You're thinking, and like marhum Maulana Mia, Maulana Ibrahim Mia of Mia's farm, his father, many people, he was also very, ask people about their deen. So he asked you, reading your namazes, they say even our Eid namaz we don't miss. But they only were making Eid namaz, no other namaz. So with ourselves, we bluff ourselves, and we think we bluff other people also. And the worst is when we think we bluff ulama. And more worse than that, our sheikh, when we think we are bluffing our sheikh. And they pick up very easily. Like Hadrat Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi writes, a farmer knows his animals very well. That which one is 1 year of age, which one is 2 years of age, he knows his farmers very well. And this Hazrat said, when a person wrote a letter to Hazrat, and he copied the conditions of another murid, all that, and he wrote, this is my conditions. Hazrat said, immediately I made out that this person here is lying. This is not his condition. I know him very well. Where can this be his conditions? So when we try and bluff like this, whether it is some even by dreams, which is also a terrible thing, to make up stories of dreams, etc., or anything else. So the very important thing is to be doing our ma'amulat, and then to inform as well. And when you inform your sheikh, there is no riya in that. If you go and blow your trumpet in front of other people, yeah, there will be riya. But for in front of your ustad, you tell him all your by the barakat of your ustad, your parents, by their barakat, and you thank them and you tell them what habits you people taught us, how you brought us up, and we are thankful, etc. And today, alhamdulillah, these good habits are in us. There is no riya in that. And the same way with one sheikh also. And to admit this to Allah Ta'ala, which should be part of our ma'amulat, that Ya Allah, you have been so kind, you have blessed me with this, you have blessed me with that. فرمایا کہ طالب کی نیت تو رہبر بننے کی بھی نہیں ہونی چاہیے. حضرت says that a murid should not even have the niyat that I will become a sheikh. Like that outwardly, it's a good niyat to guide people, to make bayan, to people become bayat and you guide them. But Hazrat says, don't even have that niyat. That I will in one day, inshallah, I will also get permission and I will also guide other people, which is our duty to guide people, and it's a lot of sawab in it. And you are doing it in sincerity, not for name, fame, that I'll be a big sheikh, but that I can guide people. But don't have that niyat also, Hazrat says. بلکہ نیت یہ نیت ہو کہ ہمیں راستہ نظر آ جائے. Our only niyat must be that Ya Allah, show me your path. Let me come towards you, open this path of mine towards you. اور رہبر بننے کی نیت شرک فی طریقہ ہے. And when a person has this niyat that I want to become a peer, I want to have majlis, guide people, which if he's doing in sincerity is permissible. But this is shirk fi tariqah. That is a form of shirk also. And shirk in this path, because in this path your niyat should have been only one, to find Allah. That your road to Allah opens. Now you brought another thing in that. So this is shirk in this path. towards Allah. بلکہ بزرگ بننے کی نیت بھی نہ ہونی چاہیے. Your niyat should not also be that I must become a buzurg, which means pious. To become pious is right. A person becomes bad to become pious. But don't have that niyat also. That I must become a, not even with this, that people must think me a buzurg. But to become pious, nek banna faraz hai. But in this path, don't even have that niyat. This only niyat that I must, get the road to Allah, then everything else will fall in place. Your niyat must be, you want to go from here to Cape Town. So that must be in your niyat, and your road must be open to Cape Town, whether you're going by road, train, plane, bus, whatever it might be. Don't make this niyat that on the way we'll go to Kimberley Diamond Mine also. On the way we'll do this also. That is part of it. But your niyat must be just that your road opens. Not that on the way people will host us also. They'll give us food also. We'll sleep over. Don't have any other niyat. Only niyat is to reach there. خود کچھ تجویز نہ کریں. اگر یہ نیت ہے, if this person has got all these other intentions also, تو وہ شخص غیر حق کا طالب ہے. Then this person is a seeker of other things besides Allah. He wants Allah also, and he wants these things. I must become a buzurg, I must become a peer, I must guide people. That is also. And a person whose niyat is only Allah, it's quite clear how much superior that person is. A person who hasn't got the niyat even of being pious, of being a buzurg, of becoming a peer, of becoming a sheikh, of guiding people, his niyat is only Allah Ta'ala, that he, and Allah will give him everything else then. خود کچھ تجویز نہ کرے. A person shouldn't from his own side تجویز ask of plan anything. He shouldn't make any plans of his own. He must make himself fana fillah. He annihilates himself. And only thing I want Allah. And many such people, Allah made them great buzurgs. Allah took great work from them. And if our niyat was, and according to the hadith, لِكُلِّ امْرِئِمْ مَا نَوَى, if every person will get what his niyat was. Your niyat was to become a sheikh, you'll become a sheikh, and you'll get the sawab for that. But perhaps you won't find Allah, because your niyat is not to find Allah. Your niyat is to become a buzurg. You'll make lot ibadat, everything, but your niyat wasn't to find Allah. So you won't find Allah. And don't make shirk also in this. That find Allah also and become a buzurg. In other words, there is a very high talk. It is 100% permissible that a person has the niyat, which is not good. A murid should only become his islah and to reach Allah. And he's making this niyat that I'll get khilafat. Though, and many people ask for khilafat also. And that is also with sincerity, that they can become a guide other people. They get the sawab of guiding people, etc. Like in Tabligh Jamaat, there is no khilafat or anything, but they are calling people to deen. So what is the sheikh doing? The same thing. But this is usually when a person gets khilafat. He's calling people to Allah Ta'ala. In Jamaat, you're going from door to the people. You are calling them. And so that is a good thing. But Hadrat is explained, the highest, make your niyat only the pleasure of Allah. Nothing else must be in front of you. I must reach Allah Ta'ala. And Allah will just throw in all these things. And such great to these people, great mashayikh, who had more sincerity, Allah made them more greater. Like Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali himself, who is writing this, to what level Allah Ta'ala had taken him. Where Hazrat had reached, who that his niyat was not to become a sheikh, his niyat was not to guide people, his niyat, though they are all good, and with sincerity they are very good, but your niyat is only Allah Ta'ala. That is a very, very great thing. May Allah Ta'ala bless us with these realities. Let it not only be words and writings, but that it comes into our lives. In this kitab, with regard to the love of Allah Ta'ala, Hadrat is a master. Balkay, he's got a doctorate in this. In all his subjects, how every detail and what angles he has opened and discussed. Yeah, Hadrat explains, وہ کیا عمال ہے جن سے ایمان کی حلاوت دل کو نصیب ہوتی ہے. What are those actions by which a person gets the sweetness of iman? on what actions, like one which is famous and which is the main one, is to guard the gazes. And in fact, our Shaykh Damat Barakatum says, nowadays it's summer, and a person has to go to the shopping malls, and you see how the people are dressed, the women, how they are dressed. So Hazrat say, you don't have to get worried for this. Balke, yeah, at all these instances, Allah Ta'ala is distributing mitai of iman, mitai and the certificate of jannah. That when the more there are these temptations, the more you save your eyes. Like it, what comes in the hadith, Hazrat explains, النَّذْرُ سَحْمٌ مِّن سِحَامِ إِبْلِيسِ مَسْمُومِ, that the eyes is one of the poisonous arrows of shaitan. مَنْ تَرَكَهُ مَخَافَتِ, a person who doesn't look at this woman, whatever it is, you are just apprehending that somebody is coming, and don't let your nafs bluff you, let me see if it's a man or a woman. Don't let that also, that how is this woman dressed, that whether she's dressed decently or not, there is all, and one little glimpse, shaitan puts a whole picture in the heart. So shaitan, don't let him bluff you in any way. So whoever gives up these evil glances in the fear of Allah, abdaltuhu, Allah says, in return I will give him iman, and such iman, yajidu halawatahu fi qalbihi, the sweetness of which he will find in his heart. So whenever these occasions come, and you safeguard your gazes, you don't look at all, forget talking, making jokes, or that I must be courteous, I must just greet or something. No, nothing whatsoever. At that time, the command is that you, even if they regard you to be very rude, and you don't even greet, accept that also. Don't worry about that. And then Allah gives you certificate of Jannah. So these are times, don't go now intentionally to, when you have to go, and you safeguard your gazes, every time you look down, Allah is giving you certificate of Jannah. So what more the, and the sweetness of Iman, when it enters the heart, it doesn't go out. And for, we can understand from this also, one of the main reasons that why we don't experience the sweetness of Iman, is because we don't guard our gazes. And 99% of the problems in our homes is also because we don't protect our gazes. That is when we don't enjoy the wife, we're looking at other women, how terribly, and shaitan makes them look beautiful. And then your wife doesn't look beautiful. And worse than this, going on the internet, looking at TV shows, and those women are all dolled up and made up. They are not like that at all. They are just made up and dolled up like that. And shaitan bluffs you, this woman is so beautiful. See how kind she is to her husband. See how kind she is to her lover. My wife is not like that. See how warm she is. And see how good she is. My wife is not like that. Your heart goes off your wife. And that woman is just a picture. You're not going to get her in any case whatsoever. You can forget it. You lost your wife also, and that woman also. And the street woman and the shop woman, they are also exactly the same. And more worse is this videos and TVs, because in actual life, you'll see very few beautiful women. But in the videos and that, the way they make them up, everyone looks so. And you get fooled without realizing it. And how a person gets fooled. There was a film in India where there was a train going, and then one young girl, she's taking off her clothes, and just as she starts, the train comes past, and now you can't. One person actually really went 10 times to go and see this fellow. So they asked him, what's wrong with you? He said, one day the train will be late, and then I'll see everything. So just, we are supposed to be matured grown-ups, but how these things fool us, we don't realize also. All these adverts are the worst. The way they will advertise, banks will advertise, we are here at your service, go and ask them for help, they don't pick up your phone. You can tell them this work here, they say we're coming back, they don't come back. But the way the adverts portray things, wherever it is, the way they will tell you things, and the actual life is to a person who knows life, what life is, he will know his wife is his wife. And she is the one who will fulfill all his desires. She is the only one for him. If he looks only at her, what joy and happiness won't he get? But when we start looking around, we bring complete humiliation, disgrace upon, besides the guna, and the displeasure. So this is very important that a person looks after his eyes. Anyway, the sweetness of iman, which is for which on amal that a person gets. Allah aur Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam ki muhabbat tamam maujoodat e kainat se ziyada ho. One of the main amals is that Allah's love and the love of his Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam must be more than the whole world, more than what we love ourselves, more than what we love our wives and our children. The love of Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam must be more. When that happens, then a person gets the sweetness of iman. But today we love ourselves the most. More than what we love our wives and our children, we love ourselves. Whatever, we are lazy, fajr time to get up, we don't get up, we make 100 excuses that I slept very late, there were a lot of mosquitoes, bed bugs, I couldn't sleep, and I got a long whole day's work in front of me. Let me sleep away now. So if you have the love of Allah and his Rasul more, you'll give preference to that. In everything, for example, may Allah protect us. If a fire breaks out in the house, you always, that a mother leaves her children also and runs. Father leaves his family and runs. Everyone worried about himself. Very, very rare it is that in such cases a person worries about somebody else. Otherwise, every person by nature loves himself. So this iman has to be developed until we love Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam more than what we love ourselves. Is muhabbat se murad muhabbat aqli hai ya muhabbat imani murad hai. Now by this love which is referred to, which comes in the hadith sharif, then what is this love? Is it a natural love, or is it a love which mentally, or is it a love which is psychological? Iman, according to our iman. Ya muhabbat imani murad, muhabbat tabi'i murad nahi hai. This doesn't refer to the natural love of a person. And the explanation is given here. Mulla Ali Qari rahmatullah alayhi farmati, wa laysa al murad al hub al tabi'i li'annahu la yadkhulu tahta al ikhtiyar. Your natural love, which a person by nature he has, that is not in his choice. The person just loves anything, anyone, it just comes in him. It's not in his choice. Yeah, that love is meant which is of choice. So if a person has to think mentally, then if he thinks, Allah, I love Allah the most, more than I love my wife also, more than what I love my children also, in your mind, or in an imani sense, as far as iman is concerned, I love Allah the most. I don't love my wife or my children or anyone else. But by nature, your love for your wife is more. Your love for your business, for your car is more. That is by nature. So yeah, that love by nature is not referred to. The love which is mental, which is according to iman, psychological. Jis tarah se mariz, and nice example is given. Jis tarah se mariz apne ikhtiyar se dawa peeta hai, bawajood tab'i na gawari ke, lekin aqlan dawa ko mufeed samajh kar peeta hai. Like a sick person who drinks some bitter medicine, he doesn't like it, but he wants his health. Because of his health, he takes the medicine, and happily he drinks the medicine, though he doesn't like it. But even if his wife forgets to give him, bring my medicine, today you never give me my medicine, though it's not sweet, it's bitter, he doesn't like it, but it's good for him. Like that, mentally, the love of Allah is the greatest. Though by your nature, you haven't seen Allah, you haven't got an association with Allah, there is different when afterwards your iman builds up, and you have that relationship with Allah, you see the favors of Allah, the kamalat, the perfection of Allah, the jamal, the beauty of Allah, the nawal, the favors of Allah, that Allah, you create, that you brought me into existence. I'm not even fit to be in existence, and you made me see your whole show of your great qudrat. Allah is giving us a great show of his qudrat in this world, and you have put me here to see it. And then how much a person's eyes Allah opened to see all this great qudrat of Allah, then his iman increases. Then that iman by nature becomes more also. And that is a great level of iman, whereby nature. Otherwise, for the general, ordinary Muslims like us, what is required of us is that a mental, when we think that, ya Allah, not by nature that you have so much love for Allah, but when you think, then you have the greatest love for Allah Ta'ala. Lafz-e-halawat ki wajah-e-tasmiyah. Why is this word halawat? Why is it called halawat, sweetness? Hazrat, like for example, to understand this point here which Hazrat is explaining, Hazrat says that in Urdu we call the mother's brother Mamu. Now why is he called Mamu? Because his face is like Ma. He's the mother's brother, so he looks like the mother. So that's why he is Mamu. That's Wajai Tasmiya. Why it's called that. So just like that, chunke mithas ka hissiyat aur mehsusat mein insaan ke liye mehboob hona bahut wazi tha, isiye ye lafz istemal farmaya gaya. Because sweetness, to taste, to feel the sweetness, aur mehsusat mein insaan ke liye mehboob hona, and in the things that a person can feel, that Allah Ta'ala, Deen, Islam, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Medina Sharif, Makkah Sharif, Quran Sharif, Masjids, Azan, these things, a person loves those things. He feels the love for these things, therefore it is called sweetness. They are sweet, therefore it is called sweetness. So that is why it has been given the name Halawat. Muhabbat Rasul se kya murad hai? What is the meaning that we have left for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Wa min muhabbatihi nasru sunnatihi. Huzur sallallahu alaihi wasallam ki muhabbat ki huquq se ye. The love of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what does it mean? It is that aapki sunnat ko zinda kare. That a person makes alive the sunnats of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And making it alive, man amila biha. To make amal on it. Very, very mubarak is that person who writes kitabs on the sunnats, who makes bayans on the sunnats, and tells people about the sunnats. But basically it is that you yourself make amal on the sunnats. That is a sign that you have love for Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Or ghair shariat ko, and the things which are against sunnat, against shariat, mithal bid'at wa rusumat, jahil ko shariat se dur kare. That all this bid'at which takes place at the time of funerals, whether it is big nights, whether it is any occasion, wedding occasion, all bid'at, all customary things, a person who works to remove those things, that person will say he's got the love of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who brings sunnat, nikah according to sunnat, your house also according to sunnat, your travel according to sunnat, your marriage, your funerals, everything according to sunnah. This is that this person, not that how you love your wife, you have a feeling for your wife. Perhaps you don't have that feeling for Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but that his sunnahs, and that you love him, you love his sunnahs, that you bring them in your life. That is proof that you have got love for Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah reward our ulama, our fuqaha and our mashayikh, how they have explained things to us and made it so clear to us, and so made our path so easy to follow the right path. Aur tamanna karna Hazrat sallallahu alaihi wasallam ki ziyarat ki. And one of the signs of the love of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is that a person has this desire to see Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That is, in most cases, in his dream, some people are fortunate that while they are awake, Allah Ta'ala shows them and they speak to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But for us all it is that this desire that I must see my Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And in your dream, and even this desire that when I die in the qabr, I will see my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And what joy I will get when I see my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. That is a sign that this person has got the love of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. کہ اگر ہم حضور علیہ السلام کو پا جاتے تو آپ کے لئے اپنی جان اور مال کو فدا کر دیتے. That if we could get Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, we are prepared to give our lives, we are prepared to give all our possessions, and in return just to get Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, to see Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Like that the proof of حضور sallallahu alayhi wasallam's love. One buzurg who did have, who was a genuine buzurg and love of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, one time these words went out of his mouth which Allah did not like, that we love Huzur sallallahu alayhi wasallam as the Sahaba loved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This is a claim that a person is claiming. He's making such a strong statement that I love Huzur sallallahu alayhi wasallam How the Sahaba loved Huzur Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Outwardly it looks quite good, but where are we and where are the Sahaba radiyallahu anhu? Because he was a genuine Buzurg, Allah Ta'ala wanted to correct him. And so in his dream he saw that there was a horse and cart that was going in front. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was sitting. He was sitting at the back together with four Sahaba radiyallahu anhum. The cart went on a decline, stony place downwards, and somebody called out that this cart is in great danger, it's going to meet up with an accident. And Huzur Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's life is in danger. He had so much love for Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, immediately he thought, I must get four boulders, big rocks, put them at each wheel, stop them. While he was thinking, how long does it take to think? While he was thinking, the four Sahaba put their own lives down, their own bodies down by the four wheels, and they stopped the cart. Then he realized, we can't even imagine the love the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum had for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We can't even dream of that love, what they had. So to have that love for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that if we could get Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, like for example, which our Shaykh Ahmed Barakatuh many times explains, that like a buzur comes, and then usually amongst the murids there will be fights also. We want Hazrat to come to our place, we want Hazrat to come to our place, and there will be fights. This all a proof of their love for their Shaykh. So if Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to come, who wouldn't want to host that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam must come to my house? When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to Medina Sharif from Makkah Sharif, how everyone wanted. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, where my camel will go, I will go. Where my camel will stop, I will stop there. And that was the house of Hadrat Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu ta'ala. But who won't wish? And that a person will say, I'm prepared, like we see many places what they do, that we are prepared to give everything, but just that Hadrat comes to our place. So for Huzur sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to have that type of love. تو آپ کے لیے اپنی جان و مال کو فدا کر لیتے جیسا کہ صدیق کی تعریف میں علامہ علوسی نے بیان کیا ہے that who is a صدیق حضرت ابو بکر is the greatest صدیق but who is a صدیق الذي يبذل الكونين في رضا محبوبه that a person who sacrifices both the worlds this world and the year after also just for the pleasure of his beloved that is a صدیق صدیق وہ ہوتا ہے جو اپنے محبوب حقیقی تعالی شان ہو for Allah Ta'ala's pleasure you sacrifice your whole dunya you sacrifice your jannat also for Allah Ta'ala اور محبوب رسول صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم پر دونوں جہاں لٹا دے for Allah and his Rasul's pleasure you are prepared to sacrifice your whole world and all what you possess everything your own life you are prepared to sacrifice this we can understand now that those people who are not prepared to keep a beard, they can't make that sacrifice. So what is the level of that love of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam? A person who doesn't dress according to sunnat when there is nothing stopping him from doing that. A person, all the other sunnats, we don't practice upon them. Then that is a sign that we don't have that love for Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Dona alam de chuka hu me kasho. O people who are in the tavern, I've given both the worlds already. Ye ghara mein tumse kya li jayegi? Where will you be able to buy this expensive wine? I've drunk that wine, that love of Allah Ta'ala by which I've given my jannat also. I don't worry about as long as I get my Allah. My dunya, my health, my today, just little bit if we don't get our food on time. Or the food wasn't to our taste, what's our position? Small little things. Where are we going to sacrifice the two worlds? Hey, nice to talk about it and to say it. But if our health has to be taken away, that if we are offered, you will get Allah and His Rasul, but your health will be completely taken away. All your wealth, your home, your family will be taken away. But those are very big things. Small things we are not prepared. Just that how I will look if I keep a beard, we are not prepared to sacrifice that. So this is that when a person sacrifices. Jahan akhirat kis tarah fida kare, how will a person sacrifice the akhirat, your two worlds, your akhirat also you must sacrifice. Yani thawab aur jannat se ziyada Allah aur Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam se muhabbat rakhe. That more than thawabs, And more than Jannat, your love is for Allah and His Rasul. Jannat is also the creation of Allah Ta'ala. Jannat is not our real objective. Allah is the real objective. And that is our main objective, to find Allah. Not to find, to get sawabs. How Shaykh Ahmad Barakatum explains that this is like normally Hindu people or like Jewish people, their lives is only with money. They don't worry about anything else. So as long as they get money, like one Hindu when he became ill, terminally ill, so he told his treasurer that work out, if I die and people will come to the house, we'll have to feed them, how much will that cost? And if I take treatment, how much will the treatment cost? Whatever will be cheaper, we'll do that. If feeding the people is cheaper, I'll rather die, as long as we save that money. So their whole thing is with money. So Allah say, our Islam, don't make it like that with sawabs. Sawabs is the currency, the money of akhirat. That there's so much sawab. Many people, wazifa also you show, they ask, what's the sawab of reading the wazifa? All they want is sawab. But that connection, that reality with Allah, that they don't, it doesn't come to their mind. So don't make our Islam like a Hindu or Jewish, their transaction only worried of money all the time. That should not be our case. Our case should be of love. Our Shaykh also, Ahmad Barakatum, says that a Hindu businessman, the most beautiful woman can come, he doesn't even look at her. He's just worried of his money. The money comes in, that is all. His whole life is just with money all the time. And the same way with a Jew, they'll get other people involved in all these things, but they are just making the money all the time. So our relation should not be like that. Our relationship with Allah must not be to get Jannat only, must not only to get Sawab, that is all secondary. The main is to find Allah Ta'ala and the love of Allah Ta'ala. Many people, they won't miss their tahajjud, they won't miss their muamalat, their tasbihat, their zikr, just for Sawab. That so lot Sawab in this, so lot Sawab in that. But to get Allah, that unfortunately they are deprived of. کیونکہ ثواب اور جنت نعمت اور منعم نعمت دینے والا کا درجہ نعمت سے زیادہ ہوتا ہے. Because ثواب and the giver of ثواب, who is superior? Allah is more superior, the giver of all the نعمت. You are interested only in a نعمت, but who is the giver of the نعمت? And unfortunately we are all very much guilty of this also. That, for example, your boss gives you 10,000 rand, 20,000 rand, you are very happy, I'm getting a very good wage. But you don't think of thanking the boss. That boss, you have given me, you have made me easy. Your boss gives you 5,000, 50,000 rand, take your family for Umrah. You'll go and enjoy your Umrah, but how you have to thank your boss for that, that you don't think. What and what our parents did for us. We enjoy all what they left for us inheritance, but we don't even think of them. How many of us, if they have passed away, not even three times a day, Qulu Allah, no dua, maghfirat, no isa, we hardly think of them. We are just worried of the ni'mat. This is of a very low mentality, that you're just enjoying the ni'mat and the giver of the ni'mat. And 100% practically, we all of us, Allah, who is the giver of ni'mat, we don't think, we don't thank Him, we just enjoying the ni'mats all the time. We don't even ascribe them to Allah. This is the height of kufr in a sense, that Allah is the giver of all our biryani, our roast, our houses, no duas, no appreciation, Allah, you gave me all. Sometimes by mistake we think of it is different, but this should be all the time upon us, that Ya Allah, you are my health, my life, my wife, my children, my deen, my all these masjids, all these ni'mats, you are to be engaged with the giver of the ni'mat, that is billion times more superior than to be engaged in the ni'mat only. And what is a kafir, open kafir? They don't even believe in Allah, that Allah gave. They're enjoying the ni'mats, Allah is giving them also. All the ni'mats which Allah is giving, they're enjoying, but they don't even believe in Allah. We believe, but we don't think of Allah. We don't thank Allah. So that is what is required. That is the love of Allah. That a person, Allah gave us these ni'mats not only to enjoy, but to first and foremost to find Him, to appreciate Him and to be thankful to Him. And then Allah wants us to enjoy the ni'mats as a secondary thing. Enjoy the ni'mats, food, house, cars, whatever Allah has given, but be thankful to Allah Ta'ala. May Allah bless us with this. Subhanallah wa hamdihi. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك.